and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Whoa. You know all it needs?
What?
More cowbell?
Yes. Thank you very much.
We have a cowbell right up there.
There you go. If you tuned in early, you've caught me with my pre-show ritual, which is cleaning out Max's eye boogies. Looks so handsome and romantic now. It's Friday.
Look at him. Look at him. I want to be petted. I want to
I
be
see
petted.
Food. There's food in
there's
the corner.
There's chicken over there.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Don't let him get the voice we've given
that
to
Max. That is Fred's Chief Petty Officer, Jim Ward.
See? Chief Petty Officer, because I do.
That's pet him out of the whole show, yeah. So that's why we thought that'd be funny.
He doesn't come to me because I set boundaries early.
How's that working out for you?
Oh, it's working great. They don't really come back
here. We have so many screen captures from Free Speech TV of you doing the Heisman.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. All right. Happy Friday, everybody. A big, big show. We have Tina Dupuy, Jim.
Damn.
Okay. With a great piece on minimum wage. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying, joins us by phone from New York.
The frozen tundra.
I can't. Oh, by the way,
what?
This is the magical, I don't know, over sexiness of John Fugel. It's not just in person. Because I told you my favorite comment on Phoenix Sexy Liberal was, I want to have sex with John Fugelsang's hair.
Yes.
I forgot my 91-year-old Republican mom, also hot for John Fugelsang.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She goes, oh, Steffi, I saw your friend on Katie Couric. he's quite something.
That stirred something in your mom.
Right? I think it stirred my mom's loins. I think John Fugelsang could do that.
She might have ovulated.
He could resurrect the dead eggs, I think. There could be another little Steffi somewhere up the pike.
He made your mom ovulate.
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, Steffi, why? He's quite attractive. All right. So the very attractive John Fugelsang. And then Graham Richard, CEO of Energy Now. We've had so much great discussion around the Keystone and climate change and all that. And he is the CEO of Energy Now. And it's part of, like our friend the other day, Jigar Shah, author of Creating Climate Wealth. There are guys like this and gals.
Guys and gals.
As Sarah Palin would say.
Guys and gals.
Also, too, in addition, Jim. That are working on solutions so that we don't have to keep repeating the same oil industry talking points. Like, oh, well, we're not going to get off it anytime soon, so we got to do the pipeline because I love her.
Computer says no.
He will tell us why the computer says no.
Right.
Okay. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, by the way, we were speculating yesterday, how long does it take to drive from Madison to Chicago?
Yeah.
Kevin in Chicago says, hey, Steph and the Mooks, I can make it in a little under 3 hours or so, depending on how much I've drank. Kevin.
Drunk?
The Stephanie Miller show does not. Well, he obviously was drunk when he wrote this. We do not encourage driving from Madison to Chicago drunk.
Although I'm sure it's not the first time that it's ever happened.
All right. But we don't encourage it.
No.
All right. When you get there, we encourage.
Lots of drinking.
Right. Woot. Oh, are we going to have a lot to talk about when we get to Madison next month?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear, Governor Wanker.
We won't stand with Governor Wanker.
Yeah, well, Chris Christie's been hogging all the attention.
Hogging?
Okay. Oh, dear. The headlines are so unfortunate. And I sense that Hillary has once again laughed another pantsuit off. Watching the TV. Bill! I'm just saying, another one bites the dust. Maybe there is something to this Clinton hit list. I don't know. Chris Christie, Skywalker, Orange Flame. Oh, bye-bye, Scotty. Dear.
When we faced an uphill climb with a future not too bright,
there
was one man for time who was promising to fight. He would stand up for us all when he came to the stand.
It's an actual song, right?
Yeah,
this is actually Walker Rocky Mountain Mike's parody.
From Ashland to Monroe.
skirt in prison. All right, I can't take any more. Have the worst talent on their side ever.
Wow,
I wasn't
awful.
Sure if this is a parody version of.
No, that was
thing.
The real song.
Remember, somebody alerted us to some pathetic
just a big talker.
Rocky Mountain Mike, like wannabe that Sean Hannity uses or whatever. Just stop over there.
Yeah, wow.
All your people suck. They just suck. They're not funny. Can't sing.
Creative people tend to be liberal.
Uh-huh. Right. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. Where's the sexy right wing comedy tour? Nowhere. Wah, wah.
Oh, they've tried.
Yes, I know. There's that one guy that's real just loud. I'm from Fox News. Remember that guy?
Yeah, but the thing is, see, it's funny because it's loud.
Steven, what's his name? Crowder.
Steven Crowder.
Crowder? I just met her.
That was funnier than anything that he's ever said.
Yeah, we played those sound clips, and Jim's like, there's no jokes.
You see, the thing is, because when
I'm
thing happened, it was, yeah, you get it? You get it? What? Okay.
No, okay. Okay. Yeah, it's what we were saying. Dennis Miller, funny, when he was liberal,
when Rick Overton
wrote for him, our friend. And now he's just... Yeah, there's
crank.
Something about them just thinking...
He's a crank. He's the cranky old man down the street. Exactly.
Right, only they think they're funny.
Get off my lawn, Chachi.
Yeah, it's the same thing. He's laughing at himself, so that's our indication that it must be funny.
That's how you know it's funny.
Yeah, belly, Chachi, belly, John, like Nancy Pelosi, Bill. You're like, what? Is there a...
Huh?
It's not...
Paul
what?
Just died as Nancy Pelosi on a... I don't know, and then there's some reference you don't understand, and
from
then you're
Kierkegaard.
Like... Kierkegaard. Right.
Yeah.
Kierkegaard, right. Okay, the breaking news out of Madison.
Yeah, wow, that was a detour.
I got back there.
Okay. All right.
Oh, dear. Walker's presidential aspirations on shaky ground.
Mm.
Apparently they will stand with Stephanie Miller.
Sure.
Not with Governor Walker.
He's not walking on sunshine, that's for sure.
No, he's not. What was that? I like that.
Governor Imperial Walker from Star Wars.
Yeah, right. Let's do that. Let's work on that.
Bum, ba-da-dum, bum, ba-da-dum,
right.
Bum, ba-bum.
A raft of emails released by State Appeals Court Judge Wednesday have Scott Walker facing some of the same questions as his Garden State counterpart, Chris Christie. Yeah, for people that want to be run the entire country, they seem a little fuzzy on what's going on in the desks right there next to them and right there. It would be like if I disavowed knowledge of anything you guys do on the show. They're like, well, they're like a foot from you. I'm like, I don't remember that. They said what?
Really?
Huh?
How did I miss that?
Even if Walker is not eventually implicated of any wrongdoing, the documents released, as well as other information arising from a pair of criminal cases related to his rise as Milwaukee County executive to governor, raised some troubling questions. Troubling, Jim.
Troubling.
I'm troubled.
Very troubled.
I'm troubled by the troubling questions.
Sure.
About his choice of personnel and his awareness or lack thereof of what was going on in his
office.
Well, his defense, I will say, is he does look, as I've said before, like someone just hit him with a plank right before he goes on TV. Mm. He's a tiny bit, right? Just, right. Tiny bit cross-eyed, tiny, like a little like, ugh.
What just happened?
What?
Huh?
Speaking of not knowing...
I do have a sense that someone's like, Governor Walker, we're coming to you in three, two... So maybe he is that out of it.
Sure.
However, here are the fun facts about several of the people. Very close. Kelly Reinfleisch.
Reinfleisch?
Reinfleisch!
Reinfleisch! This is German for pure meat.
Is it really?
Yes. Unless it's spelled with an H, then it's meat from the Rhine River, which makes no sense
right,
at all.
Right, that doesn't make any sense.
That would be fish.
I bet you Reins Priebus is a fan.
Reinhold Reins Priebus!
Of Kelly Reinfleisch!
Rheinfleisch is the town right next to the town of Priebus.
All right. Well, little Liebchen is going to jail is the main thing there. Fräulein is,
Yeah. Going to the pokey.
To the pokey. That'd be fun. Is there roll call in jail? Probably. Rheinfleisch! They're showing a whole cell block of just people that work with Governor Walker.
Yeah.
A former Walker deputy chief of staff. Oh, that's pretty close.
Mm.
A charger, she essentially worked as a campaign staffer for a Republican candidate for lieutenant governor while on the clock in Walker's office. A lot of mingling of things.
Yeah.
Governor's office and campaign stuff that you're not supposed to do.
And so she was paid by the taxpayers.
Right.
Which is a problem because she was working on a campaign which is not supposed to be funded by taxpayers.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Right.
We have a sticky week at that.
Open the main gate.
I see nothing.
She does seem like a character on Hogan's Heroes.
Fräulein Rheinfleisch.
Le Beau? What have you done with Rheinfleisch? Walker has so far avoided prosecution. See, because we've spent a lot of time in Madison. I've known about a lot of this stuff for years. Madison and I are one. We are... And this has been percolating for a long time. This is what our friend Joan Walsh writes a good piece about it. It's only because Christie's in a media center that he's gotten more attention. Mm-hmm. They're like, if he'd gotten an ounce of attention, no one would be saying he's a top-tier candidate for president. That is not cheese coming from Wisconsin, that smell. That is. Kevin Kavanaugh, there's another.
Nice.
I'm not done with my fun facts.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
A lot of alliteration.
Thank you. He is appointed to serve on the Veterans Service Commission, convicted in 2012 of stealing $51,000 in donations earmarked for veterans and their families.
Wow.
Ooh. Isn't that nice? Timothy Russell, former deputy chief of staff to Walker, sentenced to 2 years in prison last year after he was found guilty of stealing $21,000 from a charity intended to benefit wounded veterans and families of military personnel killed in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Can we get the firing squad for those guys?
The Stephanie Miller Show has no legal knowledge as to whether Jim Ward was in the just saying category.
In the military.
But we certainly hope it's not actionable, because we were just saying. Okay. Hang on. Darlene Wink.
Wink, 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 winky, wink.
Who was Walker's director of constituent services, was convicted of a pair of misdemeanors after prosecutors charged her with organizing political fundraisers while on the clock as a county employee.
Let's just change her name to misdemeanor.
The 2014.
You're on fire today, Jim.
Jim, it's a little bit on en fuego today.
En fuego.
Finally, William Gardner, personal friend of Walker's, was convicted. Maybe he's just hanging out with a bad crowd. Was convicted of violating state campaign laws for laundering campaign contributions he made to Walker's gubernatorial committee. Walker is now likely to face questions about how he could have failed to know about illegal activity taking place in his own office, particularly as
I
it was discussed
nothing.
Explicitly on emails sent to his personal account. Oh, no. Oh, no. That can't be good. All right. That cannot be good.
Nope.
All right. So lots to get to today. 19 minutes after the hour. We shall be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show, but first, don't forget the next one up, ladies and gentlemen.
Warning.
Sexy liberals.
This promo contains material not suitable for stick up the butt conservatives.
Just in time to kick off spring break 2014, the hottest, craziest, most off the hook progressive head turners are hitting South Florida. It's Sexy Liberals Gone Wild, Fort Lauderdale.
So hot.
Oh.
On March 1st, the official start of Spring Break 2014.
Springtime for Stephanie Miller.
The world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Join John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and the bride of progressive media, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available at ParkerPlayhouse.com or by calling 954-462-0222. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 1st, at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale. Get your tickets now. Go to ParkerPlayhouse.com.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes after the hour, so much to get to. Oh, no. More Scott Walker fun facts.
Uh-oh.
We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Makes me that much smarter.
No. It is the, oh yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. Oh, by the way, we've been talking about the Governor Walker scandal, and you said, speaking of not knowing what your underlings are doing.
Yeah, I called John Bolton an asshat on Twitter yesterday.
Nicely done, sir.
Well, I was watching Fox News and Brett Baer, and he was on there talking about blowing the crap out of some country, and said, why is his solution for everything just to blow the crap out of other countries?
And you can't call yourself a diplomat.
If you're not willing to engage in diplomacy.
Goodbye.
Asshat.
Goodbye. You know what? You're only fired for not calling him something worse.
You're fired.
Okay.
I suppose
the only thing, the only reason, is what the idiots of the United States under the Ausgeflogen Augen.
Ah, oh, boy. I bet you, but what's her name? Reinfleisch.
Reinfleisch.
Is a fan of John Bolton's. I'm just
the United States makes the UN work when it wants it to work.
Right.
And that is exactly the way it should be, because the only question to the United States is what's in our national interest. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that is the fact.
Yeah.
Die einzige Frage ist, was ist in der...
Whatever.
Hi. I'm a diplomat. I invite you to diplomatically shove that up your ass.
Yeah.
Whatever your idea was before I decided to blow you up. All right. I should have some sympathy for Governor Walker, because I would never have any idea what my underlings are doing, because I'm usually...
drunk.
Right?
Yeah.
How the hell would I know?
I don't know.
What you do on Twitter...
What? You don't even know how to access Twitter.
Face page. I don't even know how to get on it. How would I know what you're doing?
You don't know what my Twitter handle is, do you?
And see, I would get off. I would not be convicted in any ring, because you guys would be like... She's drunk all the time. She doesn't
She's
know.
Willfully ignorant.
She has no idea. See, and then they would say, but you sit a foot from her at work.
That doesn't make any difference.
What do I often ask you? I'm like, are you here every day?
I will tell you something that's coming up in like 2 minutes.
Right.
And you're like, why didn't you tell me this? Well,
Right. And then I have plausible deniability. Why?
Because you're drunk.
Right. I have, like, literally one Chardonnay-soaked brain cell at this point. I'm like, I don't... You said that when?
Plausible disability.
2 minutes ago!
What?
Who are you? What are you doing in my house?
This is the first stages of dementia, isn't it?
And you're coming to my house, both of you, this weekend for a party. Yeah. Oh, Natan and Travis are both using the convenient getting out of spending more time with the Shrew We Work With excuse, and that is...
I'm going to San Diego.
I'm going to San Diego.
Both of them are going to San Diego.
Yeah, it's a little weird, right? They both have the same excuse.
I know, right?
Oh, I can't. I'm going to San Diego. Otherwise, I'd love to spend more time with you.
You know,
San Diego.
That's the code.
Although, my initial reaction was, oh, I'm going to Oxnard.
Yeah, you did try that.
I did, but you didn't buy it, so I'm like, oh, God, I have to come now.
Actually, I am going to Oxnard next week.
Oh, all right, well.
I guess someone has to.
All right. By the way, someone reminded us that we did our own, Madison will really stand with Stephanie Miller before I think they would stand with Governor Walker, don't you think? Right?
Yeah, this was Rocky Mountain Mike back when he was Mike in Raleigh.
Hmm.
When we first heard this lame song, with its lyrics not too bright, there was one woman so strong that was showing us the light. With her box wine for us all and the jokes she'd tell apart. And what a sexy liberal whose radio show is so smart.
What?
We will stand. She's really not that old. Not as old as Phyllis Diller.
All right, Rocky Mountain Mike. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, and she also sheds, eats out of the garbage, and can't control her bowels. Why don't we just call Duluth Mental Hospital and say...
Stephanie Miller.
Can live with us.
Duluth Mental Hospital. That explains a few things.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Tina Dupuy, syndicated columnist.
I didn't...
Extraordinaire. I know. I saw the look on your face. coming up at the top of the hour.
That was his happy pants look.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was my pants are too tight look. Yes. All right. Hey, speaking of which, I don't know. Well, Jim, you raised a good question. How did they get this? It's the mapping how long sex takes in each state in the union.
The average amount of the average time of coitus, if you will.
Right. I don't know. Is there people with stopwatches? How did they calculate this?
There's got to be someone standing in the corner.
What do you do for a living? Oh, I time people.
And go.
And go. Okay. And
scene.
I time people. Hey, why do you ask? Why?
Ever.
Is that a weird job? Okay. Wowee. Washington, D.C. Number 45. Sex only lasts 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Alaska. Are these Republicans or Democrats?
Dead last, Alaska.
Oh, Alaska.
With an apologetic 1 minute and 21 seconds.
Todd, get off me!
Okay, I'm done.
You know I don't like doing it on the snow machine.
Was that your impression of Todd having sex?
Yeah.
Well, how long could you listen to that voice?
Okay, I'm good. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Also, look at the time.
Also, too, in addition. Oh, God, I'm done.
I'm done.
Okay.
My God.
Get off me. I'm getting snow machine marks on my back.
Oh,
God.
Wow, we. Oh, 35 New Jersey. Let's all take a moment for silence for Chris Christie.
Oh, I'm done.
Hey, listen, if she can last 2 minutes and 28 seconds without smothering, that is, you know what?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
Where's California on there?
Did you say I love you? Okay. Hey, kids, that's, you know, number one? Wow, this is impressive. New Mexico?
What? Really?
Topping the list by a large topping, also on top by a large margin. New Mexico, active love lasts just over 7 minutes.
Wow. Holy cow!
Holy moly! When am I going to Albuquerque? May.
May.
I gotta check some shizzle out there.
Where's California on that?
Oh, let me look. Okay. Let me check the fun facts.
All
hang
right.
on, please.
Okay.
Hold, please. Where are we on here? Let's see. Mm-hmm. Oh, West Virginia's number two.
Oh.
Wow, well, I know speculation on how many of those are
relatives.
Must
be something in the water.
Stop it. Stop it. This is hard. Literally. Where are we? Where is California?
I don't know.
This is very upsetting. Maybe we don't have sex at all.
Apparently.
Oh, we're number 32.
Oh.
With 2 minutes and 38 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah. We're number 32.
All right.
All right, then. All righty, then. Okay. Hang on, just talk amongst yourselves. Can't you do anything for a minute while Mama's busy? Okay.
No, people do things for a minute in Alaska.
Hey! Chad! Although she reportedly did it longer with...
Apparently.
That was just a rumor.
I've heard. Right.
That she had a thing with Tad's...
Snow machine partner.
Snow machine partner. It's his partner in the snow machine business.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Don't know. All right. In another totally unrelated story about things that go off prematurely in your hand.
Oh.
The Stand Your Ground Law. Marlene writing, because we had a few gun nut talkie points yesterday on the... Hi, Steph. Like you, I'm getting sick of these idiots with the black people use the Stand Your Ground defense more than white people talking point. Here's one factoid about Florida's law. Defendants claiming stand your ground are more likely to prevail if the victim is black. 73% of those who killed a black person face no penalty compared to 59% of those who killed a white person. It is broad enough, the law, that one judge complained that in a Wild West type shootout where everyone is armed, everyone might go free. Leon County Circuit Judge Terry Lewis was considering immunity motion stemming from a Tallahassee gang shooting that resulted in the death of one of the participants, a 15-year-old boy. The judge said he had no choice but to grant immunity to two men who fired the AK-47 responsible for the death, even though they fired 25 to 30 times outside an apartment complex. The reason? It cannot be proved that they fired first.
Ugh, wow.
Love to you and the Moose, and of course, Max and Fred, Marlene.
Aww.
Yeah, dumb law. Just a dumb law. It creates, I mean, that's the thing. It just creates a burden of proof that is ridiculous legally.
Yep.
I
And one more juror in the Michael Dunn trial is talking.
Okay.
honestly think he was a good guy. I think he's a good guy. I don't think he hates everybody. I don't think he walks around wanting to shoot everybody. I think that he made bad decisions. I really think he's guilty of murder, but not the guilty as charged.
Because of this dumb law.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And so this juror gets the good guy thing from. Well, but okay.
And this juror is African American.
Right.
Probably should be pointed out.
Right. Here is a Michael Dunn juror again.
I was convinced. I was honestly convinced that he was in self-defense until he chased the car down and started shooting more. Everybody is making this a white and black thing, and it's not. In our decision-making process, nobody brought up not one race. Never. It was never brought up.
Yeah, that's because it didn't get introduced. The
right.
lot of stuff that should have gotten introduced.
Exactly.
Yeah, and by the way, who chases down and shoots at a fleeing car unless yeah. they're a jerk?
Help, I'm being repressed.
Right. E.J. Dionne.
See the violence inherent in the system.
Wrote a piece in the Washington Post. He said these statutes make the already difficult task of jurors even harder. They aggravate mistrust across racial lines. They appear to increase rather than decrease crime. We should not have to have gone through another racially charged trial in Florida to learn all this. Yeah, this is and he cites a Tampa Bay Times report from 2012, an examination of the law. 7 years since it was passed, Florida Stand Your Ground law is being invoked with unexpected frequency in ways no one imagined to free killers and violent attackers whose self-defense claims seem questionable at best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If a car's driving away from you and you have a gun,
right.
how can you feel threatened?
Yeah.
What?
Exactly. Well, and this is why I thought, weren't the Republicans supposed to be the law and order party, the, you know, tough on crime? How is this?
Tough on black crime.
Right.
You missed that part.
Right.
Yeah.
The law, the Times reporters wrote, has confused judges and has allowed drug dealers to avoid murder charges and gang members to walk free. A study by two Texas A&M economists found that such laws do not deter burglary, robbery, or aggravated assault, but do lead to a statistically significant 8% net increase in the number of reported murders and non-negligent manslaughters. So, nicely done.
So, yay.
Nicely done, Florida.
Well
yeah.
done.
All right, back to something that'll make us happy. Governor Walker. as I was saying, our good friend Joan Walsh in Salon, Scott Walker's pathetic fall, another one bites the dust. A secret email system, not so secret anymore, Scotty, set up by his staff, finally focuses the national media on the governor's ethics woes. Whoops. And I was saying, those of us that have spent some time in Wisconsin, I've... This stuff has been going on for a while. They just don't get the national media spotlight as Jones' piece, like a like Chris Christie does. She in fact says Scott Walker has actually managed to benefit from his distance from the national media. Sure, it kept him only in the second tier of presidential 2016 candidates, but a tough media scrutiny would have excluded him from any tier. No one has ever explained how a governor can have six associates convicted of illegal campaign activities, including three top aides who sat just feet from his desk, quote unquote. And come away from it entirely unsullied. Yeah, and this is like, because in a way, when you look at it, this is Christie, but down the road, because they've already had the convictions. So let's see, blah, 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 blah. Walker has never been ready for national primetime. He's a charisma-free divider who got big attention for ending collective bargaining for public employees and then surviving a union-led recall election. By the way, that was our cause and for Sexy Liberal in Madison.
That's right.
And we got a bunch of them. Remember it was the Walker and the Eight?
Mm-hmm.
We got a bunch of them in that recall. So it wasn't, it was just tough. It was tough. He has a lot of Koch brothers money behind him, as Charlie Pierce writes about all the time. I remember that recall so well. All of them made him a hero of the right, of course. Walker was never going to survive close inspection. He's given a dim bulb platitudes like defending a state law requiring, the transvaginal probes.
Yeah.
Saying blithely, I don't have any problem with ultrasound. I think most people think ultrasounds are just fine. Well, not if you're a woman and the government's ordering you to
right.
have one and you don't want one. What a dim bulb.
Most people enjoy waterboarding. You don't hear that.
It's like going
right.
for a swim.
Right. Walker signed a bill repealing Wisconsin's equal pay for women law and has crusaded against Planned Parenthood. Jones says, personally, I thought Walker was toast when he got pranked by someone pretending to be David Koch.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a dummy. And my favorite part of that is that you could tell the prank guy wanted to get off the phone and Walker wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, moron. I'm not even, I know you feel like you're like Reagan and whatever, but listen, I'm not even David Koch, you moron. Can I get off the phone now? Because I got to get this posted online. yeah. Let's see here. Jones says, Walker defenders say the governor didn't know about the secret email system, though he participated. Yeah, that's a tough one to claim, isn't it?
Yeah.
The newly released email also featured staffers forwarding racist jokes, making light of the death of a mental hospital patient because no one cares about crazy people. As Jones says, the deep bench of the Republican 2016 contenders has completely splintered. Well, that's this. Chris Christie sat on it first.
Oh, God.
What? Walker was a second-string candidate who was on the verge of becoming contender only because of the troubles of Chris Christie, toxic Ted Cruz, Florida's Marco Rubio, Louisiana's deeply unpopular Bobby Jindal, and disgraced former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Oh. Hillary has left. Yet another pantsuit off and will need an entire...
volcano monitoring.
Entire new wardrobe for her presidential run. All right. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Shake it down now?
Now.
Yes, now. Yow. 50 minutes after the hour. Speaking of yow, Tina Dupuy coming up at the
meow.
Top of yow. At the top of the hour, 1-800.
Top of the yow.
Yow. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Oh, some love letters from Wendy. Steph found you guys on Progressive Voices. Love your show. I live in the profoundly swing state. That's the swingiest state of Ohio. Hmm. But you would not know it by the available media. I know, in a weird coincidence, Jim, no conspiracy. But you were right after the, what was it, the 2000? What was
Four.
Where we won all the seats? The Democrats won a bunch of seats in the House.
Six?
Right, in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
They shut every single progressive radio station down in Ohio, weirdly enough.
Yeah, because it was working too well for them.
Mm, 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 mm. Progressive Voices, highly recommended. Lovely, lovely.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a free app, TuneIn app. ProgressiveVoices.com. Do it. Ray says, Steph, I'm glad there are ways to hear your show later in the day. I have the Stephcast because while you go to bed at stupid o'clock and get up at insane o'clock,
mm-hmm.
I tend to go to bed at last call o'clock and wake up at where the hell are my pants o'clock.
I did that in college.
Ray is a man after my own heart. Okay. Keith in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Keith.
Good morning, everyone, from another city where we have to listen to you on the wireless.
Yeah,
we're pushing to get a progressive station, guys.
Yeah, well, the Madison one is crazy successful.
Yeah.
But
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, well, I listen to you guys in Chicago, but it'd be nice if we had something going on in Milwaukee too, because we are Democratic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only 90 miles away.
Yeah,
should be able to.
Yeah, so you know this about us, but you also know that we love to drink in Wisconsin.
Oh golly!
In fact. Louis Black so much acknowledged that in one of his routines that we aren't amateurs, we're professionals. So, as the aroma of the Walker email dump starts to waft its way through the Capitol, the Republicans are starting to push through a lot of legislation, some of it not too well thought through. So, one of the bills that they're looking to push through, because we love hunting in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
is this bill that if you are out chasing a deer or some other scary animal, and it runs onto someone's property, you will have the right to go onto that property with your guns and your dogs without the permission of the landowner.
Oh, very nice.
Now,
very nice.
Yeah,
what could go wrong there?
Well, let's couple this with the fact that Wisconsin has a castle doctrine law, which, you know, is stand your ground by another name.
Right.
And you throw in the alcohol, what the hell could go wrong?
Right.
I know. Let's ask Dick Cheney.
Case of Lineys and... box of ammo.
Lineys,
what
wow.
could go wrong?
Line and Google.
Exactly. Let's hope you all have the same good fortune that Dick Cheney had, where he was able to sleep it off. I mean, sleep overnight and not talk to the police until the next day.
Yeah.
And then he had a friend nice enough to apologize for getting his face in the way of Dick Cheney's
mm-hmm.
gun.
Yeah.
Okay. Loretta in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Loretta.
Hi, Stephanie. So good to talk to you.
You too.
I'm from St. Petersburg, and I have like to make a little comment about this Jordan Davis trial. Mm-hmm. My son, who's in his early 50s, was called for jury duty a while back, and he was being interviewed, and they asked him, did he believe in trial by his peers? And he said, hell no. And they said, well, why not? And he said, I don't want my peers deciding what's going to happen in my life. And I think that these little jurors that we've heard from on the Jordan Davis trial certainly do fit into that category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Dick Cheney's thing, every time we bring it up, I remember I did an appearance that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a joke about it, and everybody was like, oh, Steph. And then they were like, I was like, no, seriously, the vice president just shot someone in the face.
Yeah.
They were like, I thought that was a joke. I was like, no, he just shot someone in the face while he
clearly,
allegedly, seemed to be drunk.
In the way of your gun.
Right. And then he didn't have to talk to the police till the next day.
Dick
right.
Whittington was the shooty's name.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's a lawyer friend.
Yep.
Right. And he said, I am so sorry. I had to put the vice president through this. Just picking birdshot out of his
sure.
face.
Doink, doink.
Yeah.
Do you have any tweezers? Some Bactine, maybe? Ow, 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 ow.
Oh, boy.
That all should right. be the last of it. Well, maybe not. Ow.
Ow. All right. So we were saying that Scott Walker... wow. Yeah, it's a little trouble. A little bit of malfeasance. It's and we were saying it's. I think it's gone past where Chris Christie is because it's like all these convictions.
Mm-hmm.
He's the toasty kind of toast. Chris Christie, by the way, had a town hall yesterday. No questions allowed.
Yeah, he got a little weird at the beginning of it, setting the ground rules.
Oh yeah, really? Did he seem a little like a bully?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know how many cameras are here today, but there are a few. And if what that does to someone in the audience is decide that today is their day to show off for their friends. Today is the day where they're going to take the governor of New Jersey out for a walk. I think you know what I mean. All of us are from New Jersey. And so you know what that means. What that means is if you give it, you are getting it right back. And that's the way we work things here, all right?
I think you know what I'm saying.
For a walk.
Take me for a walk, I'll be taking you for a walk.
Nothing left but your shoes.
Wow, that was a scene right out of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Wow. Just saying.
You take me for a walk, I'll take you for a walk.
You can say what you want, I'm just saying. That's a big boat we're taking big pussy out in. Plenty of room for you.
One of these days, these loafers are going to walk all over you.
Okay, just saying. There's a lot of room in that car that's taking Adriana to go visit.
Hey, that guy's got a big trunk, you know what I'm saying?
I got to think of some other murders. Those are the only two ones I use in the Christie Code in our Sopranos bit, but there's other ones. Somebody remind me of other murders.
Wasn't there a murder every episode?
What's his name? The guy that that started the fire that killed Tony's horse. That guy. He knocked him over the head with a frying pan, and then he chopped him up into a million pieces.
You're asking two people that really haven't watched the show.
He chopped him up. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. All right. Tony killed him with his bare hands.
I got friends in the construction business.
Waste disposal.
I'm just saying, I got an extra frying pan and wood chipper with your name on it. Don't mess with my horse.
Did they ever use a wood chipper in Sopranos?
I can't remember. Mixing Fargo up? They chopped him up.
Good luck breathing cement.
You're mixing Fargo up with...
1-800-STEP-12. Someone tell me what I'm talking about. Mine was
hot enough. I wish I could see. In the wood chipper.
I don't know if it was a wood chipper. They chopped him up. I'm not sure that was a wood chipper, but
I think they used more axes than wood chippers in New Jersey.
No, I think you're right. Hatchets. I think that in this particular scene, there was some way they... I can't remember, and I can't remember the actor's name, but someone knows. Look, the lines are lighting up.
A document shredder.
What?
A document shredder.
Right. No!
You know how when you try and shove too many papers in a document shredder? And
all my listeners are helpers. When I start to totter, they call to prop me up. Here's what you meant, Mama. Oh, thank you. Okay, we will do that, and Tina Dupuy, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Tina Dupuy coming right up, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Settle down. Everybody gentle down. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang coming up at the bottom of the hour. And Graham Richard, CEO of Energy Now, to talk about the growth of alternative energy next hour. We're all over this.
We are.
Like a white on rice with the whole Keystone Pipeline debate going on and such. All right. 1-800-STEP-12 is, I said, the phone number. And, yes, here she is.
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuy.
Yeah.
Tina Dupuy is brilliant. She's funny. She's a terrific writer.
Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
Oh, my God.
You just love being jingled.
No, the bleeping threw me.
The what?
The what?
The bleeping, the unnecessary bleeping.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
We like you, giggly. Tina.
So dirty.
You, of course, as usual, wrote a great piece. Don't like food stamps. Raise the minimum wage. You say you're philosophically opposed to food stamps. Let's say you feel better about yourself by calling those who've hit hard times freeloading parasites. Suppose the very idea of someone somewhere might be cheating the system is enough for you to support snatching all subsidized sandwiches out of the hands of your fellow Americans. Get a job, you mutter at the TV when food stamp issue is broadcast into your home. Then you should be for raising the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
A magical connection. Please explain.
Well, here's the thing. They want, when you talk about food stamps, it's actually a way we subsidize Walmart. Walmart is the biggest private employer in the country, and they do not a large portion of their workforce doesn't make enough money to feed themselves, and so they depend on government subsidies like food stamps, and some of them actually qualify in some states for Medicaid. And so Walmart doesn't have to, they can have all that money going to private profit instead of public goods.
Right.
And
well,
we allow them to do that.
We all remember, Tina, they had to have a canned food drive for their own employees. This is when this struck
Absolutely.
Everyone. That, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you saw this. They say that they're looking at supporting an increase in the federal minimum wage, breaking with business and industry groups that oppose such a measure. They say they're weighing the impact of additional payroll costs against possibly attracting more consumer dollars. Do you think? A company spokesman said increasing the minimum wage means that some of the 140 million people who shop at the chain would now have additional income. Yes.
Well, they took a big hit. In November, they announced that they took a big hit in their final quarter report because of the food stamp cuts.
Right.
They're seeing their bottom line, because we subsidize them. So they're the ones who are actually benefiting from this. And so if this is the issue, if this is something that you don't like, and Republicans clearly like to beat up on people who are on food stamps. They like to call Obama the food stamp president and
right.
have pictures of him with slices of watermelon on food stamps. You know, all the lovely things that Republicans have done to try and peg him as the food stamp president. Well, here, if you don't like food stamps, instead of just beating up and poor shaming people who are on food stamps who have hit hard times, how about we just raise the minimum wage?
Well,
and I think one of the buried leads with having a wage that is $10.10 an hour is that the people who are now making $9 an hour, now the people who are making above minimum wage, they're making $8 an hour in some states, those people will also be getting a raise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the 10 million working impoverished Americans who, you know, are going to be receiving a pay increase. It's also the people who are making $9.50 an hour.
Yeah. Well, you included some startling statistics. There are 46.2 million impoverished citizens in this country. According to the data, 10.4 million are the working poor. The others are largely elderly, disabled, or children. And I think that can't be pointed out enough, right?
Right. I mean, till I'm blue in the face. When we talk about, and that's like the work requirement for food stamps always like, it makes my head explode, right?
Yeah.
When Republicans talk about, oh, you need to work for your food and there's no free lunch and all that, you know, the biblical phrase that they like to drop. The fact of the matter is a lot of these people who are, you know, unless we want children to work for a living, which I'm not getting rich, so I don't think the children should have to work for a living. You know, we've done that.
We've been there, done that, right.
Yeah, you know, let's not have them work in the coal mines just yet. You know, it negates the fact that there are people who work for a living, who work 2 to 3 jobs. And remember in last year when McDonald's came out with the budgeting software that was going to help their employees, because it wasn't that they weren't making enough money, it was that they weren't saving enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they had things on there, like, you know, there was no cost for heating, and they were paying $20 a month for healthcare, which is laughable and hilarious. I buy that much in Band-Aids every month. I mean, who, you know, I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, as you say, the Republican philosophy, it sort of makes no sense. You know, you say that currently the ideologically pure right-wing thinks food stamps are a disincentive to work and minimum wage will kill jobs. Their hope is to keep wages so low you can't live on them while also cutting food stamps. And as you say, they're against abortion and family planning, against the national debt and for tax cuts, against Obamacare and socialized medicine. And as you say, when you ask them what are your ideas, it's Benghazi, pretty much, right?
Yeah. They kind of like they're opting for the ostrich with their head in the ground strategy of like, but Benghazi, lawless, Clinton, and then they change the subject,
right?
And you know, and because it's they don't have, I mean, if they were to have the kind of traditional Republican pragmatism, and I believe that there was a time, a storied time, but yet it existed where you know, like when Reagan gave amnesty to illegal aliens, I think there was a time where Republicans did have this kind of pragmatism and they really did want to influence public policy instead of being ideologically pure, which is what they do now.
Yep.
Right. So now, like, no one can have anything that is, you know, that if you're anti-gun, if you want people to show an ID before being able to purchase a gun, you know, that's a pretty extremistic position. You know, you can't be for contraception without, you know, that being conflated with abortion, which is really scientifically not sound, but also a really dangerous path to go down. You know, they're now so to the extreme with all of their positions that they've painted themselves in the proverbial corner.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you're reading the piece in the New York Times, The Clear Benefits of a Higher Wage, you know, basically echoing some of your points, but I love how the, you know, basically points out the Republicans so selectively use this, the CBO's reports, you know.
Oh, yeah, suddenly they're the biggest fans of the CBO, right?
Yeah,
because, like,
yeah.
Every time the CBO says, hey, we need another stimulus, they go, what is the CBO now?
Right.
Right? And now the CBO is like, maybe we give or take 30%. There might be 500,000 jobs that are no longer. Maybe we don't really know. They're like, oh, see, this is fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in stone. It came down, you know, with Moses. Look at this.
Well,
this is why we're now opposed.
Yeah, that's right. And Tina, I think the important thing is, as the Times points out, what Republicans fail to mention is that the report is almost entirely positive about the benefits of raising the minimum wage. And they also, you know, are saying that it's such a wide estimate in there. It's saying, you know, it's their, first of all, the employment estimates have been disputed by a wide variety of nonpartisan economic studies. And secondly, the range is so big, it's essentially the budget office's way of saying it doesn't really know what would happen to employment.
Right.
So,
well, and here's the bottom line. Like, billionaires are not job creators. You and I are job creators, right?
Right.
Our consumers are job creators. We are the ones who, when we demand something, it is supplied. So when we want something, when we want a good or service, and we pay for that, we create that job. Jobs are not trickle down. It's not one magical guy on some hill somewhere who says, I want to create this job. It's you and I buying things and needing different services that create jobs. And so if people have more buying power, people at the bottom have more buying power, it's simple economics that will in fact create jobs.
Yeah, it acts as a stimulus. And by the way, I think it's awfully, it's big of you to call me a job creator in that, by that you mean a couple of crappy jobs.
Well,
you know, but it's the best I can do. I mean,
I still show up for it though.
Yeah, you know. Tina, great stuff.
You're so magical in every other way.
Oh, you know, Tina Dupuy.
Oh, God, don't lay it on thick. Come on.
You're the greatest.
You need
and we
a
like
spatula for that.
Yeah.
Love you, honey. We'll talk to you next time, hotness.
You're the best ever.
No,
bye.
You. Aww. No, you. Gaha, girl crush. Okay. Splat? Did you just say splat?
Yes. I just think I'm going to buy it.
Splat. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, great stuff from Tina Dupuy on the minimum wage. I can see why there's such a huge majority of Americans that are for this. It is such a no-brainer. And it shouldn't, it shouldn't be something we even have to fight about. It clearly means people have more money to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Google Henry Ford. Moron. but we were saying that it's amazing how every time the CBO comes out with a report, it's the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, the Republicans, this is in New York Times, the Republicans sputtered with outrage when the CBO said immigration reform would lower the deficit, strengthen Social Security, and speed up economic growth. They called for the office to be abolished when it dared to point out that tax cuts raise the deficit.
Yeah.
When it highlighted the benefits of healthcare reform. Now that the budget office has predicted and exaggerated the possibility that an increase in the minimum wage might result in the loss of jobs, Republicans think it's gospel. Now they're quoting it left and right. They just have it in their back pocket. What Republicans fail to mention is that Tuesday's report was almost entirely positive about the benefits of raising the minimum wage. As I was saying to Tina, what I think is also important is that it's been disputed by a wide variety of nonpartisan economic studies. And basically what they're saying is, and a lot of this kind of stuff, they don't know. What the report actually says is there is a 2/3 chance that a $10.10 wage would produce job losses in a range just above 0 to 1 million. The number 500,000 was simply picked as a midpoint. There's a 1/3 chance the wage increase would lead to more than 1 million job losses or actually increase employment. A range that big is essentially the budget office's way of saying it doesn't really know what would happen to the employment if the wage goes up. So anyway, you know, they just conclude by saying the benefits to millions of low-wage workers overwhelmingly outweigh the questionable possibility of job losses. Lawmakers who focus only on the potential downside of an enormously beneficial policy are the same ones who never wanted to do it in the first place.
Right.
I mean, give me a break that they were, I was just waiting to see this. Yeah. Jesse in Montana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jess. Hi, Jesse.
Hello. Oh, Jesse stepped away from the phone.
He's going to be. Scott in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Great. Generally speaking, of course, like we all want higher wages. I've worked in the service industry for a long time now. Actually owned my own restaurant for 2 years at a very young age. I don't do that anymore, but I'm just concerned that, you know, this isn't necessarily a silver bullet because
I don't think anyone has said it's a silver bullet. I think it is one thing, you know, that would help an enormous income inequality problem.
Small business owners, you know, I don't know if they can shoulder this burden. And, you know, I've been hearing this, you know, for years. I mean, I've worked in a number of different places around the country, you know, San Francisco being one of them, and some restaurants that are, you know, very, very stable, been there for years, but it's a burden for them. And I don't know. It's a burning question to me. I don't know how to answer it. I just feel like it needs more discussion. How do we protect the small business owners in this, and that they're going to have to shoulder this burden raising these wages?
Right. Right. You know? For some reason, that's the small business owners are the trademark that, you know, right wingers bring up for every policy.
Yep.
that they don't like, and they claim it's going to hurt
Small businesses. Small businesses do just fine after every wage increase we've had.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the
That's what I mean. There's no statistical evidence. I mean, how do you...
Right.
I'm not even talking about here. Let's look at even Australia, somewhere where they have done it. You know, where it's, what, $17 an hour in Australia?
Close to 17.
Their unemployment is, you know, 5%, 5.5, something like that.
So, I mean, you know that there's a domino effect of this. Like, you have to pay your dishwasher $10.20 an hour or whatever it is, $10.10 an hour. And,
waiters and waitresses still work on tips, so you don't have to pay them.
Right. And now, okay, but
minimum wage.
A very good point, because I've worked as a waiter for years, and in North Carolina anyway, it's the responsibility of the owner of the restaurant to make sure that I make minimum wage. So so if I'm making $2.13 an hour and my tips don't make up that difference, then he has to pay for me to make seven.
Like I said, we've had quite a few minimum wage increases over the past 20 years. The economy's done just fine after.
And we haven't had one in how many years?
Well,
that's part of the problem. This has been.
And the economy's done just fine after every single one of them. Small businesses have done just fine. That's a red herring.
He's a small business owner that likes to listen to both sides and has stumbled upon our show.
And all small businesses are exactly the same. So.
And by the way, every policy that the CBO says would help small businesses, the Republicans are like, CBO reports.
The Republicans crap on small businesses all the time. Yeah.
Crazy.
They just don't know it.
Okay. Dan in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning, my love.
Hello, go ahead.
Hey, I was talking to Jim Ward. Sorry about that.
Pardon me.
Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to say I had some major sexy liberal news of my own.
Oh, what is it?
Well, last time I talked to you, I said I was going to try, but I am happy to announce I will be coming down from Atlanta to Fort Lauderdale for my very first sexy liberal show.
Woo! Yay! Yay!
I am super psyched. I'm coming with a couple of my best friends who live down there in Fort Lauderdale.
Road trip.
His wife's birthday. So, and not only is it their first time at a sexy liberal show, they've never heard your show. So I'm putting my reputation on the line and yours.
Just be prepared for the springtime for Hitler faces.
Okay. Well, and we're Jewish, so that should be especially.
Oy vey. All right, honey, we will see you there.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, Dave.
What are we gonna do?
Road trip.
Vegas, baby. Vegas. No.
Pack the Funyuns. Sexy liberal John Fugel sang next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's a nine-letter word for drinking problem?
Stephanie Miller.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, and Stephanie is...
somewhere in the compound.
See, if you're looking on Free Speech TV at freespeech.org, or the Stephanie Miller Show page, you can see that Stephanie's not here. Or now she is. Hi.
No one noticed. The show was momentarily better. Good job.
Oh.
Okay. At 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It's Friday. You know what that means.
With Fugelsang.
I got it.
With John Fugelsang.
Hello, McDreamy.
Good morning, kids.
I read the my favorite comment from Phoenix Sexy Liberal, and that is, I want to have sex with John Fugelsang's hair.
Oh, well.
Many people said that.
All it takes is a little bit of boxed wine, and you're in. So my hair is easy, let me tell you.
And then I was talking about the cross-generational appeal. This is an actual conversation I had with my 91-year-old Republican mom. There's the Leviathan.
Sorry about that. But go on. What did your mom say?
Call her about something just totally unrelated. And she said, oh, Steffi, I saw your friend on Katie Couric. That John Fugelsang, he is really quite appealing. My 9-year-old mom, he has the hots for you, is all I'm saying. I think you could revive her dead eggs.
Hey, I'll take a shot at her. I met your mom in Asheville. I love the way the light brings out the blue in her hair.
I'll take a shot at her. Oh, God.
I'll take her down, pal. I'll take her down to Chinatown. Go ahead.
Don't look back, Jake.
She was a little handsy with you in Asheville, but anyway.
She was all hands. My God, we were legally married in Guam by the time I got out of that car. Jesus.
Totally out of the blue. I loved it. Oh, dear, Steffi, he's really, he's quite attractive. Anyway.
That's right.
Anyway, we told you that last week. You were awesome on Katie Couric.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. I'm on again. I'm on again this morning.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Anyway, so a lot going on, by the way, since we've been in Madison last. You've heard about Scott Walker. Oh, another one down. Another Republican front runner.
With Governor Walker.
Yeah, they won't stand with Governor Walker, as it turns out. Are you following the latest?
A bit, yeah. I'm shocked that he has racist friends. But which Scott Walker mini explosion are you talking about?
Well, it's I think it's been six people close to him have been convicted now in various. Oh, you know what's the one? Oh, the people that worked that he appointed the veterans thing, taking money meant for the veterans family, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know,
little things.
The other one was convicted.
You call this having corrupt people around you and working under you? I call it Reagan-esque.
Yeah. Exactly. His big crush, his man crush.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Scott Walker, he could still pull it off, but I liked all the racist anti-Semitic emails. That's really fun. Google those, because he's got some fun people working for him.
Yeah. The first conviction, right, was the woman who was, Rein Fleisch. That's, we just like her name. But, you know, it's the mingling of, obviously the same thing, the echoes of Christie, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the mingling of like campaign stuff with governmental stuff. I mean, she was, working on the taxpayer's dime and doing campaign related stuff.
I'm totally shocked that Scott Walker would wind up being sleazy after running, saying he wouldn't interfere with unions and then taking away collective bargaining from all the unions except cops and firemen. I am shocked that this guy winds up being sleazy.
Yes, this does come as a great shock to you. Well, I was just saying somewhere, Hillary's just laughing her an array of pantsuits off after. I mean, who?
Well, Scott Walker really was. He was like the one dark horse that might work, because there's no one else that the brand has right now. And so if Hillary Clinton wants it, I say she's the best Republican we got. It's hers.
Exactly.
Yeah. What? By the way, our comedy binkies for the entire last cycle of Sexy Liberal, Michelle Bachmann. Did you see that she said Americans still aren't ready for a female president?
Yes, that was really wonderful 2 years after she ran to become the first female president.
Yeah, exactly. She said many Americans still aren't ready. She said, I think there was a cachet about having an African-American president because of guilt. Oh, that was nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that
isn't that
nice.
Great? Yeah. Isn't that great? Yeah. Guilt over what, Ms. Bachmann? Oh, she didn't say.
Mm-hmm. Slavery. You know what I'm talking about. She said people don't hold guilt for a woman. I don't think there's a pent-up desire for a woman present. Well, not for you, dummy.
Yeah. That's the only reason why people voted for Barack Obama, was guilt over what their great-great-great-grandparents had done. And, and again, the only reason black folks voted for President Obama was because they're black. That's my favorite talking point.
Yeah.
Never mind that maybe black people didn't want President McCain and President Romney.
Yeah, right. I know. Well, as Jim said when they nominated Sarah Palin, you get that it's not just any woman, right? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I admire Michelle Bachmann. I wanted her to be president. I think we're ready to have a president who's opposed to gay marriage and in one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Fugle Saying in One. Love that joke.
But they got no one. I mean, who have they got at this point? You know, it's really going to – it looks more and more like it's Rand Paul's to blow. He'll get the nomination, and we'll get to see the warm, cuddly, happy face of modern soulless libertarianism.
See, when you said that it's his to blow, I thought you were going to the Monica thing, but because I've spent so much time with you, but you did not. That is not what
you
meant.
No, but I will say I want to applaud Rand Paul. It's really, really the most innovative election strategy I've ever seen, insulting a woman by blaming her for her husband cheating on her 20 years ago. That is the most fabulous way to lure female voters back to the GOP I've ever heard. Congratulations, Rand Paul. I got to read Atlas Shrugged now if it's full of wisdom like that. My God.
And please, we encourage you to keep mentioning how old she is, because that will also endear you.
Oh, yeah.
Endear
women
you to
love that. Women voters love that.
Yeah. And by the way, so Michelle Bachmann also said she has a real problem when it comes to Benghazi, also because she is the godmother of Obamacare. She predicted the lure of the first female president would not be enough to make Americans vote for Clinton. Effectively, she would be Obama's third and fourth term in office. Mm-hmm. She said, meaning the guy that won the last two landslide elections.
Right.
So people clearly don't want that.
Right. As opposed to her being Bush's third term.
Right. Right. Only even dumber.
Yeah. Now, I oppose Hillary Clinton because I'm a good Christian, and I don't care for the way she forgave her husband and kept her family together. That offends me as a Christian.
I always said that, John. I'm like, there's all these people, whether it was Limbaugh or Gingrich, right? They're on their fourth marriage,
mm-hmm.
right? Complaining about the Clintons being on their first marriage.
Exactly.
Whatever the problems, right?
Yeah. Oh, so what you're saying is when she found out her husband was cheating on her, she should have divorced him like Jane Wyman did to Ronald Reagan.
That's,
I understand.
Right. That's exactly what I was saying. You scamp, John Fugelsang. saying. All right, hang on. Let's get Don in California. You are on with John. Hello, Don.
Well, good morning, guys, and you too, John. I love the way you think, man. Listen, these small business people that keep calling up saying, you know, complaining about how the minimum wage, raising the minimum wage is going to hurt their business. Well, if you ask those same people exactly how much it's going to cost to raise that minimum wage, you know, out of pocket, it's probably going to be, you know, some, if for a small business owner, it's probably going to be $200, $300, maybe $400 a month more that they're going to have to pay these people. Well, if you ask them to spend the same money on advertisement that would bring more people into their business, they'd write a check faster than you can get it out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
But you do the same thing for way, saying, you know, this is going to increase your business, and all they look is a downside. So this red herring about, oh, it's going to cost us, baloney. And it's about time we smack them in the face with reality.
Yep.
That's just my way of thinking.
Yep.
Well, it is going to cost. I mean, the fact is it will cost some people. It will be hard for some small business owners. That's undeniable. But are we going to look at the big picture here? I mean, are we going to look at lifting over 5 million Americans out of poverty? Isn't that good for the economy? Isn't that patriotic? Doesn't the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few? God, I'm going Vulcan on these guys.
By the way, personal comedy Jesus, not raising the minimum wage makes baby Jesus cry, as we can hear from, see?
Yeah, that's
see,
true.
From the soundtrack behind you.
Mm-hmm. That's my life. That's what I'm reduced to.
And
we got to stop calling it minimum wage as well and start calling it what it is, a living wage.
Yeah.
You know, I wish the president would just, you know, do away with the term minimum wage altogether, because really what minimum wage is saying is we'd love to pay you less, but the government won't let us.
Well, yeah, and as we've said many times, John, poor people are the hardest working people I know. And this is coming from all these congressmen that have worked how many days this year and accomplished what exactly?
Exactly right. 126 days of work, they're getting a raise, and you can't. We're patriots. The end. I mean, when are the social conservatives going to wake up to this? That's the real question. When are the Republicans out there going to realize they've been sold a bill of goods by these guys who've done nothing for them for a generation now? You gotta ask your Republican friends. Name one thing the party has done to help working Americans. One policy they've advanced that helps working Americans besides naming buildings after Reagan.
Dave in Florida, you're on with John. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Yeah, John, and not only is lifting 5 million people out of poverty the patriotic thing to do, it's good business. Middle-class consumers create jobs, like Gina Brown said. It's you know, demand. People can have money to put into the economy. It's straight stimulus. It goes right into the economy. And
exactly.
Small business owner that might be worried about a dampening of business from a higher minimum wage is going to be offset by more customers. And I don't expect small business owners to shoulder that burden. Pass those costs along to the customers. It's going to be nominal. It's going to be minimal. And, you know, it's Groundhog Day. We have this debate every 10 years or so when we raise
right.
minimum wage.
And guess what? When we just cut food stamps, as we were
yep.
just saying, John, you know, Walmart's bottom line was hurt, which is why now they're looking at it. Right?
Exactly.
Exactly,
these,
baby.
That is making me ovulate. I want a child so bad.
You give these subsidies to rich guys, and they're going to go put all that money in the Caymans. You give unemployment benefits to struggling Americans, it's going to get pumped right back into your economy. Even Glenn Beck listeners can understand this.
Yeah, and I think we've just increased Chuck E. Cheese Pizza's bottom line, because people listening to this are like, I got to go take my kids out somewhere. This sounds like fun.
Sorry, my wife has the same
don't apologize.
No, we like it.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's like you're calling from the ball jump at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, my God, it's horrible. And babies are terrible people, by the way. I just want to say, having a baby to save your marriage only guarantees you're going to live with two people who can't stand you.
Okay? Oh, that is not true. All right, John Fugelsang remains with us. We continue Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
My body stays vicious. I be up in the gym, just working on my fitness. He's my witness. I put your boy on rock, rock, and he be lining down the block just to watch what I got. So delicious. They wanna drink of what I got.
Steffi.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Check it out. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Should I hold up or check it out?
Both.
I have to do both.
Yeah. Both.
You can do both.
All right. Whatever order you want. It's fine. I'm not a micromanager.
Mix it up.
Okay. What were you saying earlier? Is this the anniversary of we were talking about Nancy Kerrigan? Because we're
it's the 20-year anniversary of the Nancy Kerrigan.
Right.
Why?
Yeah. Me?
No, it's just not what she
just
said.
Right. No, she didn't say why me. She just said why.
It comes in handy. I use it all the time for person when I want to bitch about personal or professional things. Why? Why me? I throw in the why me just to be extra whiny. Okay. And no one has even hit me in the knee.
Oh.
All right.
What happened?
All right. John Fugelsang, sexy liberal, fresh from... I think this is... ow! Why me? I think you can still hear the crowd in Phoenix. John Fugelsang, sexy liberal. Hello.
Show quite a crowd. That was a lot of fun in Arizona the other night.
It
was worth crawling past all the imaginary headless bodies in Jan Brewer's Arizona desert to get there.
But as you always say, it's a dry hate in Arizona.
Yeah, but it was great. You know, to be able to play to a crowd like that and a theater like that, it was just really a pleasure.
And
you know, you
got to
keep your eyes on Arizona as well because, I mean, you know, we were talking about it was a great show, and I'm looking forward to Southern Florida Pride in 2 weeks. But you know about the Arizona discrimination bill that was just passed, which is really the right to discriminate. I mean, it's going to let you fire people or not hire people because their lifestyles go against your religion. I wonder what they could be talking about. And this is the great thing. This is like, you know, the great mentality of, hey, what kind of an anti-Christian bigot would try to stop me from being an anti-gay bigot? On his worst day, Jesus didn't play victim. And to see what these Christians, alleged Christians, are doing in Arizona and Kansas, too, it's pretty creepy out there. I think the work that you and your elves are doing is more important than ever.
Well, you know, John, is it a last gasp? Because, you know, as a lot of people have said, even gay activists, gay rights are moving at such a blistering pace. This is just seems like such a desperate. I mean, who knows whether Governor Bonefinger will sign it? But it literally is that you can't play in any of our reindeer games, right. Bill. It's like you can't. You don't have to serve gays. You don't have to.
In a way, it's so ridiculous. It's quite a bit like Scott Walker's abortion bill, and you know, a lot of the abortion bills we saw last year placing restrictions on women's reproductive rights that were so draconian, you knew they'd get overturned on appeal. And the governors don't care. The governors just want to have the picture of them signing it, and then they can go and do it all for fundraising because they know it's a dwindling pool. They have no ideas. And, hey, 'tis the season for Rube Fleeson, and all you can do is suck as much money out of the right-wing haters as you can. And that's what it's going to be. Jan Brewer will sign it. It'll be this incredibly evil, unconstitutional law. It'll be overturned right away, but Jan Brewer's fans don't read, so they won't know it. And she can do fundraising emails saying how she did this to protect traditional families.
You're going to have to show your papers, your brown person papers and also your straight person papers. Now, right?
Exactly.
By the way, I thought speaking of you can't know, no one can play in any of our reindeer games, this is perfect. So the gay group Geo Proud, the founder has quit over CPAC, calling it an unconditional surrender to what he labeled the anti-gay wing of the conservative movement. Yep. A co-founder of Geo Proud has resigned from the organization's board after the gay Republican group announced it would attend the CPAC gathering next month while facing certain restrictions on its participation.
Oh.
If this isn't like... American Conservative Union, which runs the conference, announced Wednesday the group will attend as guests ending several years when they were not invited at all. So they see this as progress, John.
That's great.
But,
wow.
Yeah, GOP,
they get to sleep in the big house now.
Right. The GOP, GeoProud members will be included in all events, but the group will not be given a sponsorship or a booth.
Oh, my God.
No soup for you. You are. So,
you remember Samuel L. Jackson's character in Django Unchained? Well, yeah. Gio Proud loves Leo DiCaprio. He's a good massa.
But isn't this like the Republican Party's version of what's inclusive or what is progress? You're like, okay, well, you can come finally, but you don't not, you know. I mean, this is like separate but equal, right?
Yeah, you can be gay, but just don't be gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said it's beyond disingenuous for GeoProud leadership to say this is some sort of compromise or step forward. It's akin to the Germans saying the Treaty of Versailles was a compromise. Oh,
now,
nice.
GeoProud, that used to be the log cabin Republicans, right?
No. They're two different groups. GeoProud is a lot more conservative than log cabin Republicans.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. So it's different names, same self-loathing.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But this is their version of, inclusivity. Come on, you can come. Don't get away from that booth. Don't get your gay all off that booth.
Just don't be so gay.
Yeah, you can be gay. Just don't enjoy it.
Idaho, by the way, in the latest, John, Idaho sued over a gay marriage ban. This really is becoming like legal dominoes, I think. Four couples suing the state over Idaho's ban on same-sex marriage are asking a federal judge to rule in their favor without a trial, contending the facts of the case and recent federal court filings elsewhere make it clear Idaho's marriage laws violate the Constitution. The defendant in this case, Governor Butch Otter, that'd be funny if it was a woman.
No. Wasn't he in Animal House?
Yeah. Are also asking the judge for an immediate ruling, contending that states and not the federal government have the right to define marriage and same-sex marriages would harm Idaho's children. Oh, it's the won't someone think of the children.
And his name
argument.
Is Butch.
Right.
Yes. Isn't look at all the children that have been harmed in all the other states that have allowed marriage equality.
Oh, yeah. Won't somebody please think of the children?
Right. On Wednesday, 9 same-sex couples in Colorado filed suit in Denver challenging their state's ban on gay marriage. It's amazing, John. I see so many people on TV, a lot of gay people, that just are almost the most surprised. That are like, I never thought this would move this quickly. But it's taking on just a momentum, isn't it, in a life of its own?
It's just to see the word Idaho and gay in the same sentence in so many headlines is worth it for me. But, you know, again, there's never been any minority group that's made this swift of civil rights strides in such a short amount of time in human history. And if you're looking for reason to have hope and not despair and be proud of America, look at the LGBT rights movement, because it just shows the best of what we're capable of. And if we can get as much awareness and morality in Wall Street as we've gotten through the LGBT community, we might be on the road to having a country again.
By the way, this is not the gayest story we've ever read involving a potato. If you two recall.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
there was
no.
Right.
The vicar.
The vicar. Oh, right. He was hanging curtains naked, and he fell on a potato. That's what he told
them. And it went up his bum.
Right. That's what he told the emergency room doctor. So that technically is a gayer story that involves Idaho potatoes.
Because, you know, who doesn't hang their curtains while they're naked?
Dude, well, that was what the story was.
In a big picture window.
Right.
That's actually not gay. I think that's just vegisexual. I don't think there's anything gay about that.
Vicar, I just met her.
Lies!
We sense that that's not how it's got there. But anyway, that's another
story.
But
that was his story.
It's another story for another day.
Yeah, there'd have to be another vicar for that to be gay. That's just creepy.
All right. So we have Stand Your Ground stuff to talk about, John, and much more. John Fugelsang remains with us?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. John Fugelsang, sexy liberal. Fridays with Fugelsang continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mmm, Yes, it is. It is Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Graham Richards, CEO of Energy Now, joins us at the bottom of the hour. We're having some great discussions this week on climate change and why we shouldn't do the Keystone and et cetera. And also, it's Friday, and you know what that means. John Fugelsang is with us for the hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
Who, by the way, rocked the house in Phoenix, and there's some great pictures up on sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal Facebook. Do not cut your hair.
Oh, really?
Is the consensus.
Is it getting longer?
Yeah.
I was just about to go get it cut today.
you and David Crosby.
I'm about to go hack it all off today, yeah.
I almost cut my hair. I get it. Okay. A love letter, by the way, for all of us from Marsha. This is, John, because you know, we have such special relationships all around the country. I don't know if you remember Ray.
That's what your parole officer called him, yeah.
Exactly. Shh, about that, John. I've been on the road for entirely too long with John Fugelsang. He knows too much. Hi, Steph. I was often in the strip mall where Mephisto Great Lakes is located, but I never went into the store until I heard you talk about Ray and Bonnie. Bonnie has passed away. They own Mephisto Great Lakes shoe store, which is awesome. Since then, I've become not only a customer, but a friend of Ray's. You, Chris, and Jim have an awesome show. Your guests are always great. So ours are so many of the callers. I love, love, love Rocky Mountain Mike. Anyway, Ray and I are planning to come see you in Chicago in April. I've got the date written in my paper calendar. That's please make Jim come. Well, listen, there's been quite a Jim groundswell, John.
Mm.
He was fantastic.
I know. I started swelling the ground.
Anyway, thank you, kids. Good people, good people. And also, I don't know, you're from New York. I don't know where you come down on the whole Scalia pizza situation. It may be the one and only time I agree with Scalia. That Chicago,
what does Scalia say?
Chicago pizza is tasty, but it's not pizza.
No, it's pizza. I was a New York pizza snob until I went to Chicago and got schooled. You're allowed to love that. Look, yeah. You know, my grandfather always said, sex is like pizza. Even when it's bad, you still pay for it. Or something like that.
Wait a minute, was that it? All right.
Well, I still maintain.
I'm a thin crust gal.
I still maintain
Chris
that.
Chris says it's like a cracker with pretzel or with a cracker with
ketchup on it.
Yeah.
And I still
thin crust pizza?
Yes. And I still maintain that the word pizza is Italian for pie, and a Chicago deep dish pizza looks a hell of a lot more like a pie than one of those flat
actually
things.
More of a cake.
It's a cake.
Right.
Right. It's a real cheesecake.
Yeah.
All right. The vice president, by the way, talking about where we are with Obamacare.
Initially, we talked about by the end of this period having 7 million people lined up. We may not get to 7, but we're going to get to 5 or 6, and that's a hell of a start.
I mean, that's the thing, John. We just had Michael Tomasky on yesterday, and you and I always talk about this, about Democrats growing a set, right? And he's saying, like, talking about, he said it cannot be hard to find a lot of people that have been helped by Obamacare, right? You know, instead of the one story that, what's her name, Marsha? Chuck Norris Rogers.
Kathy McMorris Rogers.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Marsha?
Right. The one Obamacare horror story she highlighted, John, in her response to the State of the Union turned out to be complete bull, as we
completely false. But, you know, there are people who've had it tough. I mean, my brother is a psychotherapist in Asheville, and he supported ACA all the way, and his premiums have gone way up, and he's totally shocked, and he's very despondent by it, but he still supports it. He's still really glad that people will be lifted out of poverty. He's still really glad that lives will be saved by it. But they do have kinks to work out. And, you can't stick your head in the ground over that. But the fact is, again, I got to go all Spock on this. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few in this case. And there will be many, many lives saved because of it. You know, there's a reason why no other country has ever tried to drop their health care system and take on the kind of health care system we have. Because we're the only country where the leading cause of bankruptcy is inability to pay health care costs.
Well, but they have single payer, John, which we cannot get to fast enough, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All of our capital S allies have that evil socialist single payer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, did you see this? One of the you know how we've talked about legalizing marijuana for ages. So Colorado, where they've done it. Colorado's legal marijuana market is far exceeding tax expectations, according to a budget proposal released by Governor Hickenlooper, which is just fun to say.
Yes.
That gives the first official estimate of how much the state expects to make from pot taxes. Colorado's total pot sales next fiscal year estimated to be about $610 million. Hmm. How about that there?
you know, hey, wow, capitalism works. What do you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They're conservatives, by the way. Don't ever forget, when pot was made illegal, it was in the 1930s. It's been legal in this country a lot longer than it's been illegal.
Yep.
Washington grew it, Jefferson grew it. We're the conservatives on this. Decriminalize the stuff, regulate it, and tax it. You know, the reason why Philip Seymour Hoffman died is because heroin has been illegal for the past several years. 100 years ago, heroin accounted for 5% of Bayer's profits back when they were marketing it as a as a non-addictive children's cough syrup. Now, there's crap in it. There's garbage. There's poison. If we didn't have this drug war, if these drugs were regulated, as Ron Paul says, people wouldn't start doing heroin just to try it out, but you wouldn't see these kind of overdoses and these kind of deaths. It's all crazy, and it's not financially sound.
Did you buy Funyun stock, by the way? When they?
Oh, yeah, please. I'm investing in Taco Bell as soon as it comes legal in New York. Those are the only safe growth industries are medical marijuana and tattoo removal. I keep telling you people.
John in Illinois, you're on with John.
Hi. I just wanted to put in a word for the small business owner. We've been around since 1895 in the same family, 119 years, and I'm all for raising the minimum wage because we're so small. We just deal with customers that walk in, and if they had more money to spend, I would actually be able to hire more people. I mean, I'd love to get a job to a vet or anybody, but raising the minimum wage brings money to my customers, and that brings business to me. That's the do the math.
Yeah.
I'm all for raising the minimum wage.
And people buy appetizers and desserts in the cafe, too, not just their entree.
That's right, John. What?
It's more money in your pocket. You know, it's like... It's like if everyone has more money, everyone's spending more money. This helps you, one percenters.
Yep, exactly. John, I just thought I should apprise you because I know that they've just done a study. Chris, I don't know where this is. The length of time sex takes in various places. Alaska, you'll be shocked to know, dead last. Sex only lasts a minute and 21 seconds. Number one, topping the list, on top, so to speak, by a large margin, New Mexico, where an act of love lasts just over 7 minutes.
Wow.
Right?
Just over 7 minutes?
It's probably the radiation. The uranium.
Or the meth.
Wow. Here all along, I thought I was doing it right, but it turns out I'm just really slow at things.
What is New York on that?
Oh, where is New York?
New York minute?
In California, it's like 2 minutes and 38 seconds or something like that.
So you're saying the longest any men last in our country is 7 minutes, and it's in New Mexico if you want to find some?
That's right.
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. We'll
the terrorists don't need to win. We've given up.
We'll go suss that out in Warner, Albuquerque in May. We'll wait a minute. I can't find New York. Where is New York?
I don't know.
Oh, number 23. Sex in New York lasts 3 minutes and 1 second.
Oh.
But that last second is important.
One of the two partners is stabbed by that time. You know, you can't really go that long without having someone stick you with a needle.
Could it be low T?
Yes, exactly. All right, Linda in Arizona, you are on with John. Hello, Linda.
Hey, hi there.
Hi.
Wow, I've been listening to you guys. I'm so surprised I got through. Thank you.
Hooray.
Wanted to talk about the minimum wage. My daughter lives in Idaho, and she works at minimum wage. And if she gets an increase of that to $10.10 or $11 an hour, she's going to take that money and she's going to go buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
People have more money, they buy stuff. And when they do that, that just increases everybody's prosperity. I don't understand this limited concept that people think it's going to hurt them. It's just going to spread more money around. The flow is going to go. I don't understand these Republicans. It just drives me crazy.
That's the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
I just don't understand these Republicans.
I don't get it. Right.
Well, as long as you don't take anything they say seriously, they're very easy to understand.
Yeah, well, that's true. But there also seem, even though we've voted in a Democratic president, it seems that the Republicans are running the country. Is that because the Democrats have no balls or what?
That is correct, yes.
Radio?
Yes.
Hello.
Lyndon Johnson would have hung John Boehner out of a 12th-story window by now by his ankles.
Been awesome. You know, I was reading one piece, because, John, that's why we've been talking about 2014, just in a really important election year, why we got to get out and talk to the peeps. I was reading one piece, Congressional Republicans focused on calming their divided ranks. I mean, it's a whole story about how they're not planning to do anything for the American people.
Nothing. But what have they done? What have they done for working people? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can say Bush tried to do Medicare Part D for seniors and didn't pay for it. That's it. Liberating Iraq was not something they did for working Americans. And again, this is the incredible swath of the voting against your own self-interest mm-hmm. belt that drives American politics. The best thing you can do for your democracy is wake up a Republican who's not a millionaire. Because if you're not a millionaire and still voting GOP, you are a sucker.
This is why I refuse to give up my happy clappiness in election year, John, because I know I've heard it all. Gerrymandering and, oh, Democrats mm-hmm. are in trouble, Obamacare. It's like, I refuse to believe Americans are largely for a party that is for nothing.
Right.
I mean, the story in the Washington Post, after a tumultuous week of party infighting and leadership stumbles, congressional Republicans are now focused on calming their divided ranks in the months ahead, mostly by touting proposals that have wide backing within the GOP and shelving any big-ticket legislation for the rest of the year. So
exactly.
On stuff that is not going to pass, but that riles up their base, basically, comprehensive immigration reform, tax reform, tweaks to the federal health law, bipartisan deals on each are probably dead in the water for the rest of Congress. We don't have 218 votes in the House on the big issues, so what else are we going to do, said one congressional Republican. GOP brass in both chambers have shifted their focus to stability, looking to avoid inter-party drama. Look, and see, you're building infrastructure right while we're talking about this. You're doing something.
Yeah, I've got a baby smashing plates on one room and some 400 guys doing demolition in the next room.
But I love this. A Washington Post ABC News poll found 19% of Americans have confidence in congressional Republicans to make the right decisions for the country, while 80% do not. You can't tell me that right there is not something to run on for Democrats in this election year, right?
Like I always say, it's Democrats to blow. It's theirs to blow, and they can do it.
Oh, they can do it. Yeah.
But again, this is why you've got to ask all of your Republican friends. You know, it's like we can talk about this in the liberal bubble, but you got to go to your conservative loved ones and say, what has the GOP done for non-millionaires in the last 20 years? What have they tried to do? What have they tried to do for non-millionaires in the last 12 years? You can't say repeal and replace with a conservative health care plan when you have nothing to replace it with, and Obamacare is the conservative health care plan. The free market solution, Heritage Foundation, give money away to private industry. They got nothing. It's so bad Democrats are having to make their policies laws.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we continue more Fridays with Fugelsang in a moment. 20 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more Fugelsangian Friday on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, yes, yes, I love it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang joins us for Fridays with Fugelsang. Could you take your organ out, please?
Right away.
For my personal comedy, Jesus. Did you see this, John? Tom DeLay, former Republican House Majority Leader, says God wrote the Constitution.
Then shouldn't it be in Aramaic? Oh.
Wait, did I do that right? John, are you there? Oops.
Uh-oh.
Hello, John. Did I do it right? John?
I don't think he's a sinner.
No.
Hello?
It has to be the middle one.
It does? What did I do wrong? Hello, John?
I think. Oh!
Apparently I screwed it up, but we're calling him back.
Travis!
Sorry about that. I don't know if that was my screw up or not. All right. By the way, as we mentioned yesterday, in case you haven't noticed, Kiev on fire.
A little bit.
En fuego.
Yeah.
The president speaking about the Ukraine yesterday.
Now, Mr. Putin has a different view on many of those issues, and I don't think that there's any secret on that. And, you know, our approach as the United States is not to see these as some Cold War chessboard in which we're in competition with Russia.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying yesterday this looks like it could be the return of the Cold War.
Yeah, well, the writer's such a big, they're such recent Putin fans. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Because he does not like the homosexuals.
Right. all right, John Fugelsang, sorry, don't know what happened there.
That's okay, I'm used to it.
All right. all right.
Can I just say, by the way, yes. I just got this gift. Wine for Dummies has got to be, when you think about it, the most horrible book title in the history of the language. You don't want to give wine to dummies, people. Okay, they have beer for that. Stop giving dummies wine, as you were saying.
All right. Please, take your organ out, won't you, for the ecclesiastical MOOC. I was saying, did you see where Tom DeLay, former House Republican Majority Leader, said that God wrote the Constitution?
So that's what we have to blame for the separation of church and state. It's God's fault.
Right. He said God created this nation and he wrote the Constitution. He said when we stop realizing that God created this nation, that he wrote the Constitution, that it's based on biblical principles.
Did God give, poison blankets to the Indians?
He said, I think we got off track when we allowed our government to become a secular government. It actually was founded that way. We didn't allow our government.
Wow, right, what a shock this will be to Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe.
Yeah, apparently he hasn't read the Constitution, particularly the First Amendment. Not one time in our Constitution is the word Christianity or Christian mentioned even once.
Yep.
But they really, how have they just sort of co-opted that whole thing, this Christian nation thing, John?
It doesn't matter if it's real or not. Tom DeLay's raising money for something. I mean, it doesn't matter if you tell a lie. If there's enough people that want to believe it, they'll vote for you and give you money. There seems to be a television news network out there that's proving this every day.
Huh, whatever could you mean? All right, let's go to Tony in L.A. You're on with John. Hi, Tony.
Hey there, lovely. And Dominus Vobiscum, John. I get upset when I hear the blame it on Barack stuff. I love you all deeply, but over 140 million people in the United States now enjoy a living wage. I sent you guys a link on the little Twitter machine. 13 states have raised the minimum wage, and it's because President Obama has been pushing it and pushing it.
Absolutely.
We also have, can you dig that? Yeah. We also, that's 46%.
Do you think you tune into a show where they bash Obama, sir?
Say what? What'd you say, John?
Do you think you're on a radio show where we bash Obama?
I love you guys like forever. I wake up every morning, dude. I love you guys forever. Every single stinking morning, hangover or not hangover.
Awesome.
But I noticed a woman called up and she's like, "Well, Obama has no balls." But see, we perish because of lack of knowledge. 46% of people of Americans have living wages now. I sent you the links, 13 states. And that's a beautiful thing. So I think if we study more before we turn to blame stuff on Barack, and I think Mama knows what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to see John Fugel saying in Fort Lauderdale next Saturday.
That's right. Pride weekend. It's going to be a riot. Judy Tenuta, Carlos Ellis Rocky, Jackie Schechner. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see you there, Stephanie.
And we will see you. And we'll see you on Katie Couric. And we will see you next week on the radio show.
Katie Couric. And I'll be on Ed Schultz tonight. And I'll be doing stand-up in New York City's East Village later after that.
Stephanie Miller.
He's an attractive nuisance. Damn near irresistible.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We've obviously been in a huge debate about the Keystone Pipeline and also just climate change in general. Graham Richard is the chief executive officer of Advanced Energy Now. They just put out a new report about opportunities in sustainable energy. What a great time to talk to him. Graham, good morning. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Well, good morning. I hear from the commentary that you're going to have spring break in Florida. I hope that goes well for you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Graham, I know that you were the mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana, right up until 2008, but you've been talking about this. You've been a businessman, obviously, for many years, but talking about these kind of issues for so long. Tell us about your new report, first of all, because I think it's so important in the wake of this whole Keystone pipeline debate.
Yes, our new report is the annual report that we put out through our business organization called the Advanced Energy Economy, and this Advanced Energy Now really shows two things, Stephanie, that are very, very important. One, there is a robust prosperity agenda and a market, over $1.1 trillion global market for advanced energy. And what we mean by that are beyond just wind and solar and all those wonderful renewables, but we also look at things that are really growing rapidly, like advanced energy vehicles, transportation, EVs, new hybrids, and others. We also see in that report that this has an opportunity in our country to grow much faster than the economy as a whole. So in really seeing it, let's take the overall impact. It could be as much as seven times the current economic GDP growth rate when we look at all of the seven sectors and subsectors. So what that means for us is that we've really got an opportunity here to create jobs and enjoy a robust economy and see people get employed in what we would call the advanced energy, low-carbon industries of our country.
Well, you know, we just, I think, and you obviously, I think he's a friend, Jigar Shah, we just had on a couple of days ago, who wrote Creating Climate Wealth. And I think this cannot be stressed enough that there are people like you guys doing this when we keep hearing these oil industry talking points, right, around Keystone Pipeline and other things.
Well, absolutely. And, yes, I salute Jigar for his leadership work. As you know, he was a critical player in deciding how to and coming up with the idea at SunEdison, how to figure out how to get new financing into the market. So here's what we're seeing, Stephanie. We're seeing a lot of early stage, wonderful technology-driven investments. Who would have believed, for example, that Tesla would be the great story that mm-hmm. it is today, or companies like SolarCity or First Solar? Solar PV, for example, in the United States, U.S. is now the third largest market in the world. It's doubled in the last 2 years. That's over $16 billion. So we have utility scale. We have rooftop companies like SolarCity and Songevity. These are all members of our business association. And we're building these great new technologies. LED lighting is an untold story. It's incredible automated systems that control them and transforming the lighting market. None of this causes pain, as some of those would say who are doubters. This causes gain. These are all new businesses that are growing rapidly, providing jobs, growing faster than the economy as a whole. So we can have prosperity and we can have good economic impact with a low carbon future.
Right, and help the climate. I mean, I guess I get so tired, you know, Graham, just these old talking points. Well, we're not going to get off oil anytime soon, so we got to do X, Y, Z. Well, we're not going to if we keep talking like that. I mean, you know, I saw a piece you wrote, said the danger is not dependency but complacency, that you wrote, which is great. You said when America went into the Great Recession, it was dependent on foreign oil to make the economy run. Now in 2014, we're poised to be energy independent to an extent the U.S. has not been in over half a century. And I'm not sure people that hear the oil industry talking points so much are aware of that, are you?
I think you're right. And, of course, part of the challenge we have is there's the power of incumbency. We have industries that have been with us and have had policy supports for decades, if not a century, particularly the oil industry. What we're asking for in terms of policy, Stephanie, because that's where the next part of this is a robust growing market, but we need some policy certainty and fairness. So, for example, there was a $23 billion drop, a 90% drop in the wind energy in the United States. Globally, it's continuing to grow. And that's a huge factor in the drag on what we want to see is more jobs in what we call advanced energy. So getting the policies to be consistent and fair and long-term, for example, the incumbent traditional industries have had policies in place that provide tax incentives for decades. And what we want to do is to make sure that there's a fairness so that the new technologies that we believe can be the export engine for the world. Now, energy is going to grow, it looks like, between 39 and 40% between now and 2030. That's a massive growth need around the world. And we want, as we talk to our governors, we talk to our state legislators, we're working very heavily in the states. We're working with 22 states right now, Steph. What we say to them is, look, last year in Ohio, for instance, we had a discussion with the legislators about some legislation to roll back to change the policies that were actually generating and creating 25,000 jobs in the state of Ohio. And by talking about this from the point of view of this is economic development and growth, it means tax revenues for the state, for local governments, and it is a growing sector. If we ignore this sector, this advanced energy sector, we are going to be falling behind the global competition. So for us, this is about a prosperity agenda. It's about talking about jobs that come from these growing new advanced energy companies. So, you know, I encourage people to come to our website and take a look at that Advanced Energy Now report filled with great data just about this subject.
Grandma, when you mention jobs, I mean, I know you're listening to this whole Keystone Pipeline debate because people are like, oh, we need the jobs. Oh, you know, it's going to have just as much environmental impact or worse if we have to ship it by rail. We might lose the Senate over this. What is your reaction to all that? What are your thoughts on the Keystone Pipeline?
Well, of course, I have a personal reaction, and then we have our association reaction. The Advanced Energy Economy is not an organization that's taken a specific position on Keystone. Typically, we don't focus on the extraction side of this energy equation. We look at the business innovation, the business development side from the point of view of growing new companies. So I think that what I've seen here is there is an incumbent industry power that is part of the whole Keystone debate. And what we need to be focusing on are the policies that will help us grow these advanced energy companies and businesses, city by city, state by state, and eventually then as a nation, we're able to compete. Our goal here, let me just shift for a second and look at transportation, fuels, and energy. Our study showed that the biggest U.S. growth market was driven by vehicles of all types, hybrids, plug-in EVs, clean diesels, natural gas trucks, buses. That was up 33%. It's a huge increase. So what we want to see happen is that we use whatever that energy source is in a much more low-carbon way, a way that will promote these new initiatives and new innovations that will help drive the economic growth. And I think that's where we keep talking about how we continue to see a different view than those who represent the traditional oil, natural gas, or coal industries.
Yeah, well, we hear, like I say, you know, Graham, I think we hear so much of that, this oil industry talking points in so many ways. That's why I'm so thrilled. I know that, you know, your friend Tom Steyer, everybody's been talking about it. It's New York Times, LA Times, you know, that he's planning to spend $100 million in this campaign cycle to make climate change a top tier issue. And I, you know, when you and Jigar and people like that are really, you just go, no, you don't have to just listen to these oil industry talking points. There are people that you know, are willing, that are really working on the technologies that are going to get us to the energy independent place, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, right now, for example, let's look at this from the point of view of a growing market segment again. The U.S. industry is part of that $1.1 trillion global economy that is what we call advanced energy. That's about 15% of that current market. It was up from 11%. If we could every year get additional market share by these, what we call secure, clean, affordable energy approaches, and the technology side of it, the innovation, you know, Jigar talks about that in his book, and he's been a great business leader. We're going to continue to see from the leaders that are on our two boards of directors, including Tom Steyer, an interest in the innovation that creates massive new job opportunities. I found it really interesting to see that Google acquired Nest, you know, a company that's very, very innovative, but a young company, for $3.2 billion. We have only begun to see the energy efficiency in buildings, commercial buildings, residential buildings, and that provides a huge opportunity for new companies to put smart, intelligent, I was at a conference recently called Buildings Get a Brain. What we're just beginning to see is this tremendous opportunity of the internet economy, the innovation that came there, coupled with energy efficiency to make it so easy and simple for people to be able to save money in their homes or in their office buildings. Just an exciting, wonderful new growth opportunity for our country.
And Graham, we did an interesting poll that majority of Canadians are against the pipeline because, you know, the pollster said the more they have the facts, the more they're against it. Whereas here in America, 60% are for the pipeline. But I think it's because there's so few places that are really, you know, with Fox News and right-wing radio and all that, they're getting out the facts. So people just, they hear the talking points from the oil industry or wherever and go, okay, you know, that must be what's true. So I'm glad that our billionaires are fighting back. That's all I want to say.
Well, it's one of those great American traditions where, you know, business has a voice, and we hope to be part of that. And we think we're contributing to that. We're just an organization 2 years old in October, and we're really excited about the hundreds of companies that are joining our affiliates in each of the states where we're active.
Well, Graham, happy.
It takes a lot of hard work to get all these businesses working together and getting a unified voice, but when it happens, it's a very powerful opportunity, particularly at the state level, to have an impact on public policy for clean, secure, affordable energy.
Graham, happy second birthday to Advanced Energy Now. Mm-hmm. I would have baked a cake had I known, but I put a link up on my Facebook page on how to get to your organization and find out more information. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Take care.
All right, Graham. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Mm-hmm. Graham Richards. There is Graham Richard.
Graham Richard.
Right.
One Richard.
All right. Stephanie Miller Facebook page has the info. Very interesting stuff. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose.
And what comes next? Hey, bust the move. Yeah.
As you break it, you bought it. Take it.
Hey, bust the move. You could better fix it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Aw, looky here, Patrick in Dallas, a love letter.
Aw.
Hi, Steph. Talking about traveling to see Sexy Liberal. My partner and I flying in from Dallas to Chicago to see the show. Looking forward to hanging out with you and the gang at Chicago Theater. Shaw's Crab House. Awesome food.
Cool.
Walking distance to the theater. Do it. Get the tickets.
Chicago. In the coming months, let's see where we can make progress together. Let's make this a year of... Let's make this a year of sexy liberals. That's what most Americans want.
That's right. Land of Lincoln. Home of our president. On April 26th, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its triumphant return to Chicago.
It should read, tonight only...
Stephanie Miller's
triumphant return.
John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and progressive radio and television star Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com and at the Chicago Theater box office. Don't miss Stephanie Miller's own twist on Chicago-style politics.
Politics ain't beanbag.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live April 26th at the Chicago Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
Woohoo! Woohoo! And don't forget a teeny tiny amount of tickets left for next Saturday in Fort Lauderdale. Those tickets are almost gone. Hurry, hurry. Fort Lauderdale, Parker Playhouse. Madison, of course, sold out in March. A lot of people making the road trip up to Chicago for the big April show. Albuquerque, where they have the longest sex in the country, 7.5 minutes.
That's right.
As we discussed earlier. Saturday, May 10th at Pope Joy Hall. Sexy Liberal Minneapolis is Saturday, June 7th at the State Theater. You can go to Sexy Liberal Facebook, sexyliberal.com for all of that there, info there. Okay, get it, go, get it. All right, 53 minutes after the hour, we are back. We were talking about going to Chicago in April. Did you see Oprah? Oprah made some news. She said she feels recharged being alone.
Yes, I do too.
She said, I really get recharged. Well, you get recharged from not having to spend any more time around me.
Well,
so when you say being alone, it means the hours of the day you did not have to be with me.
Well, that is true.
I get recharged from being alone. I spend a lot of time. I mean, Stedman's on the road a lot, so I spend a lot of time with myself and the dogs. She's a crazy old dog woman like me. If you think I talk weird to my dogs, you should see when you guys leave. How handsome and romantic. You know how many times a day I have that conversation? And I really enjoy that because I never feel like, oh, gee, I don't have anybody to do anything with. Or I spend more time alone than anyone would even imagine.
Hmm.
Aw. See, I'm just like Oprah, minus all the money and stuff.
And where's Stedman going?
Stedman's on the road.
He's a businessman.
Ah.
He's doing business things. He's having business meetings in business suits.
I'm wearing a fedora.
Yes.
Right.
He's going to be the black John Hamm.
Okay. Geraldo has responded to Bette Midler after she said sex with him was not so good.
I imagine...
Just from that selfie, I can tell it's not so good.
I imagine he probably just thinks about himself. During sex.
Right.
That's it. That's
he probably
it.
Does takes a selfie during the whole thing.
Yeah.
Can you move your head?
Yeah, out of my way. I can't see myself in the mirror.
Yeah. It's all about Geraldo when Geraldo's having sex.
Isn't my mustache fabulous?
Maybe she didn't know the safe word is Mizrahi.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, there's that.
In his 1992 autobiography, among the revelations Geraldo Rivera disclosed is that he slept with 1,000 women at a young age.
Uh-huh.
Among his conquests, Bette Midler.
Whore.
Man whore.
Mm-hmm.
Asked about her sexual adventure with Rivera, Midler said the experience was nothing to write home about. Asked about the affair on CNN in 2011, she simply said, ew. He was asked to respond. Geraldo said, I swore after the reaction she had to the book, I would never again speak of her in those terms. But I will say she's a fantastic entertainer. I guess he meant not in the sack, but okay. So that happened. By the way, did we mention earlier that we were saying everybody on our side is just more talented? Sorry. Sexy Liberal Rob Reiner, who's
yes.
obviously done Sexy Liberal with us twice, New York and L.A., mm-hmm. received the Chaplin Award from the Film Society of Lincoln Center.
Very cool.
I love when they list his body of work, because as we've often said on the show here when he's been on, just everything. If you can think of a movie, he directed it.
My favorite of his is Misery. Love that movie.
Princess Bride, Stand By Mr. Me, When Harry Met Sally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Few Good Men, goes on and on. Okay. And I didn't realize he was also in, he's in the current Wolf of Wall Street, which
yes,
I have
to see.
Yes, he is. I have not seen that yet.
He plays, I think, Leonardo DiCaprio's father, if I'm not mistaken.
Something
I haven't
like
seen
that,
it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I got to see it. I'm still in my Netflix House of Cards addiction. I did 3 last night.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, you got to see it.
All right.
Okay. Some people, no one likes a quitter. Sharon Stone has stopped drinking. Because she's afraid it'll give her a case of the hags?
Yeah.
You're just not doing it right, Sharon. She said, I used to love wine, but I don't drink at all now. I think at a certain point it's better for women not to have any alcohol because it can make your face, breasts, and midsection get very bloated. She's not bloated.
Well, your breasts aren't bloated.
Who cares if your breasts are bloated? Good.
Yeah. Your breasts are barely there.
Does my face look bloated? Really?
Plus, now she won't forget to wear panties. Not because she's sober.
Where? Maybe that's why she was so drunk she forgot her panties.
If your face is bloated, it gets rid of the crow's feet.
There you go. Thank you for the upside of that.
Hey, you know, I try and look for the bright side of life.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Rosie O'Donnell reveals Cosmopolitan stopped her from coming out as gay in a 1992 article.
Wow.
She came out she wanted to come out about 10 years earlier than she did.
That's not very cosmopolitan of them.
Right. She said, I remember editor-in-chief Helen... Well, I remember that magazine. They used to only have articles like how to exercise your love muscles to control your man and stuff like that. It was very straight.
There were a lot of quizzes in that magazine, from what I remember.
I remember Helen Gurley Brown took it out of an interview that a reporter had done with me in like 92. He said, are you gay? And I said, yes. She took it out. She was protecting me because at the time it would have been a huge issue. Yeah, it is amazing. I remember I had a friend here in Hollywood that he and his wife and a bunch of friends were talking about her and what a good mother she is. And, oh, she's so in love with Tom Cruise. And he walks in and he goes, you know, she's gay, right? And they were all like, what? No, she's not. She's going to marry Tom. What? And these are women in Hollywood. So, we have come a long way, baby.
Sure.
And how do you exercise your love muscles to control your man? I never did figure that out.
First, you got to get a man. First, you got to be interested in getting a man.
See? Well, because of articles
Step
like
one.
That. That's why I never was. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. That seems like too much work. All right. That is it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, Travis Bone on phones and drums, Natan, our Free Speech TV director. We'll see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.